Hello, I'm Caroline and welcome to this podcast. If you want to learn more about how you can make a real difference in the world, then you're in the right place. Keep listening. I work as a communications officer for the University of Oxford and I've made it my personal mission to spread the word about local groups of people who've had a good idea and are making it happen together. We live in a world with some very big problems, but when communities take a stand, we can start to see a difference right away. Whether this is tackling climate change, making more space for nature, reducing waste, or combating air pollution. Even better, when we do this together, we can simultaneously tackle social isolation and loneliness and help people to have purpose-filled, meaningful lives. And because I believe that you can make a difference as well, I started this podcast to tell you all about what these people are doing and hopefully inspire more of you around the world to get together and make a difference. In this episode, it's all about stuff, and in particular, how we can have less of it by sharing more and hoarding less. If there's one thing I hate, it's clutter. But in today's world, where it's all about having the perfect lifestyle, accumulating more things just seems inevitable. You want to make bread, you buy a bread maker. You've got a tall hedge, well, you need a hedge trimmer. You do the odd bit of DIY, well, then you need a tool bench, a load of drills, and so on and on until we're literally drowning in things. But stop and think, how often do you actually use all these things? There are very few things we need all the time, like your glasses or your phone, and a lot of this stuff just sits there most of the time, gathering dust and getting in the way. For instance, most power drills are only used for a few minutes in their whole lifetime, but they're always there, taking up space. Is there a solution? I think so. Imagine if, instead of buying all this stuff and keeping it for ourselves, we borrowed them, like we borrow books from libraries. What if we had libraries of things? Share Oxford is just that. A library of things in Oxford, run entirely by volunteers on a mission to help people reduce waste, save money, help the environment, and feel good about it at the same time.
They come in here and they go, what a great idea. And we want to have t-shirts that say, what a great idea. Because it's one of those ideas that people get nowadays. They get the idea that we've gone wrong and we need to find our way to a different place.
That was Maurice Hurston, one of the volunteers leading Share Oxford, which launched in February 2019. It currently operates from Makespace in the Jericho district of Oxford and opens for 2 days a week. Anyone can become a member of the library and borrow the items in the catalogue for a small fee that varies depending on what the item is. Back in March 2020, I went along to see it for myself.
So the way I normally explain it to people is it's like a library of books where if you want to read a book but you don't necessarily want to buy it or have it, you can go and get it out of a library and somebody's had it before you, and then you can read it and you return it and somebody else will read it after you. We don't need all the things that we need to use. We don't need to have them.
I think it's especially true that certain items, we feel we need them, but they actually get so little use.
We all know lots of things that we've got, things that we've acquired at a particular moment because we wanted them, and then probably don't need them again. Who needs their own 8 metre long ladder? Because you only occasionally need to use one, and we've got one here. People come and they take it away for a day and bring it back and somebody else can use it. I think we need to change our relationship with consumption. That's what it's about, really. We need to think about what the best way of acquiring the resource that we need is. I have a drill at home that I use all the time. It would be silly for me not to have a drill because I need it for the things that I do a lot. But most of the people who come and borrow a drill from the Library of Things don't need a drill more than occasionally. So we've got a collection of drills that they can borrow.
Well, some people might ask, what's the difference then between this and going to a shop that hires out power tools, for instance?
The real differences, I think, are that, first of all, the things that we lend out are things that have belonged to other people. So the famous power drill that's only used for 11 or 12 minutes in its whole lifetime, somebody else has given it to us, so it's being used regularly by lots of different people. So we're giving more utility to those things that otherwise would be sitting gathering dust. So that's one difference. Another is that we deliberately, consciously price our loans at what we hope is an affordable level, so that nobody has to come and plead poverty We try not to discriminate against people who wouldn't be able to afford to borrow from a hire shop. By charging low rates, sometimes people kind of go, gosh, that's cheap. And we think, yes, good, we've got it right. And then the last thing is that when you go to a hire shop, you go in and you ask what you want and they'll lend it to you. People come here and we indulge in a conversation with them. We try to make it a relationship with people. And partly people come and sometimes they don't know what they want, or they think they want one thing. And when we have a conversation, it turns out they want something slightly different because they don't really know about the things that are available or the best thing to use for whatever job they've got in mind. We had a couple of people in here today who spent some time choosing a game for one of the children. And, you know, there's a conversation that goes on around that. And we think of ourselves as a community action group because we're trying to build a relationship with the people who both give us things to lend out and the people who borrow things from us.
I mean, it's so easy now to do almost all your shopping without actually interacting with a person. Even when we go to a supermarket, we use a self-service checkout. And what you're saying about the parents choosing a game, that reminds me when I was a child and we used to go to the video shop.
Yes.
And choose a video. And of course, we don't have video shops now and we don't even have DVD shops. It's all streamed online and we've lost that personal and physical experience of going to a different place and choosing and interacting with people. You mentioned price. Say I wanted to take this lovely 1,000-piece jigsaw home, although I'd probably have to borrow it for quite some time. how do you work the prices out?
We've got this idea that things should be affordable. We did some surveys before we set up properly, and we got the idea from people that they thought that it would be worth borrowing something if it cost less than a third to borrow than if they bought it. But then that kind of depends on what the object is. So a carpet cleaner, which is a very, very often borrowed object, you know, costs £350. Well, we're not going to charge people £100 to borrow it out. So that only costs £20. So it varies enormously. But as I said, we want it to be affordable for people. So a jigsaw puzzle is closer in cost to what it would cost to buy it than something like a gazebo or a carpet cleaner. But things range between £2 and £20. Yeah, £25 for the car trailer.
Susan Lisk, one of Share Oxford's volunteer librarians, explained to me how people can borrow items. Just like a library for books, people can either come in and have a browse or look at the online catalogue and reserve there.
You have an online catalogue where people can search for what they want to borrow, and can they reserve it? Or?
They can reserve it online. Yeah,
okay.
They can. And it's generally the reservation is for a week. You can, if you want, turn it in a little bit earlier on the days that we are open.
Do you have any problems with people not returning things on time? Do you ever have to chase or send reminders?
I think I should pass you on to Morris.
There's occasional people who are a bit flaky about it. On the whole, people, you know, technically, according to what the inventory says, people should pay a penalty if they bring things back late. However, I'm far more interested in keeping up good relationships with people. So Susan just mentioned a circular saw. Well, actually, there's one that's a week overdue. Hopefully, it's coming back today. And if it doesn't, you know, I'll send another email saying, excuse me, we might need that back sometime, please. It's not worth falling out with people. I mean, the idea is that we develop good relationships with people. I think people who've proved themselves to be unreliable, we will treat them with a bit more caution. But frankly, do you know what? Nobody else has asked for that circular saw in the week that it's overdue. And if they did, then I'd get a bit more insistent about it. You know, I think we try to make it as pleasant and useful an experience for people, rather than getting them involved in some kind of procedural thing about, oh, you're late, it's not due, it was due back last week, you know, kindly pay a penalty.
How many of you are there in the team that run the Library of Things?
There is a total of, I think, 17 people on an online project management tool that we all share. So different people do different things. So as Susan said, she's a librarian here. She on a Thursday and a Saturday comes in and is a librarian of things. And there are other people who, you know, they have full-time jobs. So they can't do that, but they do things like manage the Facebook page or the website and organise events and are volunteers in our repair cafes. There's a rather diverse group of people, both in their who they are, but also in what people contribute as volunteers, which is nice. It means that not everybody has to fit a mould.
What items are used the most? What has been the most popular?
So our top two items are the pressure washer and the pressure washer. The pressure washers are used a lot. Carpet cleaner a lot quite at the moment. Drills are obviously one of those things that, you know, we've got half a dozen drills, and that I suppose if you aggregate them all together, they might well be the most used item. Gazebos, the projector and the projector screen, they're very well used items. So quite a broad spread, really.
Do you have a favourite item here?
Well, I always mention the unicycle because it's probably one of the more unusual items, and it's out at the moment as it happens. It's its quirkiness. I think people understand, you know, drills and hammers and ladders and games and things, but you know, people come in here and they see the unicycle and say, oh, you've even got a unicycle. And so, you know, that's the one that I find myself mentioning most, maybe.
Susan?
The favourite one. I had problems with my foot at one point and I wasn't able to get around very much, so I actually was able to get through Morris an extendable device to help pick things up from far away.
Litter
picker thing that I was able to use. So that, you know, has a place in my heart. It's not everybody's idea of a good one, but it helped me during a crucial time.
The library has an incredible range of things. Things for camping, gardening, cleaning, having fun, from very small items like single drills to very large ones, including a trailer, which apparently is a very popular one too.
The last person who borrowed it was going away with his family, and they decided they'd go camping, and they'd never done it before, so they didn't want to buy a trailer, and frankly, if you hire it commercially, it costs several times what it costs from us. So he came and borrowed it from here and loaded all the, you know, a tent that he borrowed and various other things into the trailer and went off for a week with his family. We've also had it booked by somebody who wanted to move a load of stuff from an allotment somewhere else. So why have a trailer if you don't need one?
That's another good point, as well as borrowing things that only get occasional use. Also being able to try things you're not entirely sure you'd like, camping being a great example. It's something that does need quite a big investment, even if you just wanted to try it once. For someone who wanted to try it, that the cost of buying so much stuff just to give it a go, that would really, really put people off.
Well, the very first thing we ever had was a bread maker. And that came about because when I first got involved in this idea, a friend of mine came around and she said to me, oh, well, that sounds really interesting. Oh, you don't want a bread maker, do you? And I said, why? And she said, well, I got one for my mum and my mum doesn't want it and it's cluttering up the back of my car at the moment. So I thought, I've often wondered what they're like and whether I'd like to have one. But I didn't want to invest in buying one and discovering that I didn't want it. So I took it from my friend and I used it for a week, decided I didn't really enjoy it enough, so it stayed in the library rather than, well, it would have stayed in the library anyway, rather than me getting my own. I mean, I just never did, but I spent a week trying it out. And actually, somebody can do that for whatever it costs, a tenner or something. Apparently, there's something like 100 scarcely used bread makers on Gumtree at any one moment, because everybody's tried it out and doesn't like it, and except for the people who love it, which is fine. Have one if you use it every day.
I should think we're all guilty of buying an item with good intentions of developing a new hobby or pastime or exercise regime, and then never quite getting into it, but then having this object, which then almost becomes a source of guilt, having it lying around the house. My brother had a guitar for a long time, which I don't remember seeing him pick up, and I had a jogging trampoline for some reason when I was convinced that I would find time in every day to go on it, and it's so liberating to free these items to be used by others.
And in fact, we have a guitar just so for people like your brother, so that when somebody says, oh, I'd really like to learn the guitar, actually they can take it away and see whether they really do want to do it before investing in a proper one.
That interview was recorded back in March 2020, shortly before the coronavirus pandemic struck. Like virtually everything else across the world, the library was forced to close during the lockdowns. Just over a year later, in July 2021, I revisited Morris to find out what happened next. Had the library survived?
So what happened during the first lockdown? Presumably you had to close.
Yes, we had to close like everybody else, and it was quite short notice that we all had, but we had a few items that were out with people, and those few items stayed with people for 4 months. There were people who just looked after things for us. There was somebody who's a regular borrower, and her dad was over from New Zealand, got stuck here, couldn't go back, and he wasn't looking forward to having nothing to do. So he borrowed some tools, and that seemed to work quite well. But we didn't need the drills sitting on a shelf, and he used them. So I guess he was doing DIY for her. Yeah, so he comes over once a year, I think, and, you know, does stuff for her.
Were there any other nice stories that came out of items that people had borrowed from you during lockdown?
There was somebody up the road who borrowed one of our projectors, and he was doing it for a kid's birthday party or something. And I said, you know, do you want me to come and pick it up, or do you want to look after it? And he said, oh, I'll look after it. And he ended up, you know, over Christmas showing lots of films. So that was good as well.
As we headed towards summer in 2020 and restrictions slowly started to be eased back a bit, Maurice explains to me how the library went about cautiously reopening.
So how did you go about getting ready for reopening? I'm guessing the UK government didn't issue any specific guidance for libraries of things.
No, not that I was aware of. At the time, we were very concerned about touching things, and, you know, use the surface of things being a mode of transmission of the infection, which we're not so worried about nowadays, I don't think. And so there's a lot of other libraries of things and tool libraries in the country, and we talked to each other, and we'd been talking to each other during the lockdown about who was going to open when and under what conditions, and you know, between us we exchanged views on what we should do and how we should handle it, and between us we talked about ways of keeping people distant from each other and from us. So some of the libraries, for example, wanted to bring anything that they were brought back, sort of put it on its own in a room for 3 days, and then clean it, and then clean it again before they lent it out to people, and so on. We weren't quite that cautious, but we were equipped with rubber gloves and disinfectant and all the rest of it, and things that were coming and going we were cleaning, and we were putting things down and letting other people pick them up rather than handing them over and that sort of thing. So we were as rigorous as I think we needed to be cautious, but not to stop us operating. And that was really good to have the support of other libraries of things and tool libraries.
So you developed your own guidance as a community?
Yes, and we developed our own guidance, you know, for ourselves, and that was in the context of the building that we're in.
Has it affected the number of items that you tend to lend out, the volume of items being lent?
Well, we haven't been going long enough to know what normal is, but I've been quite surprised since we reopened in April how busy we've been. I think we've been busier than ever. Pressure washers, big demand for pressure washers. People were queuing up for them. Recently, it's been gazebos. They're out all the time at the moment. It's I don't know what it is about this particular moment. I think it's probably because we have permission to socialise in our gardens, so people are borrowing gazebos, but they're all out all the time.
Although the library was open, gone were the days when people could come in for a cup of tea and sit on the sofa. Instead, the library users had to wait outside and receive the items they had reserved online, either through the window or on the doorstep. Although it was functional, those spontaneous conversations were much reduced, something Maurice told me he truly missed. Even now, as the world starts to open up again in earnest, he told me that the library hadn't quite reverted back to the old model completely, as it now had to accommodate people's different levels of anxiety around COVID-19.
It did feel that it changed the mode in which we were dealing with people, and we haven't really come back from that yet. A lot of people have got used to coming to the window, but we'll quite often say to people, well, you know, do you want to come in now? And a lot of people are saying yes, and other people are saying, well, not if we can just do it through the window. So yeah, it's a much more hybrid thing, and I think that's the right word, that we're offering them the option. And some people want to wear masks, they want us to wear masks, some want to stay out, others want to come in, and are quite happy to resume that sort of normal way of dealing with things.
One thing is sure, there is still a real desire from the local community to reduce the amount of stuff in their lives and keep useful objects being used as long as possible.
At the beginning of August 2021, the library now has over 950 members who have made over 1,280 loans, That's 1,280 items that could have been bought but were borrowed instead. What do you have that hardly gets used? Maybe a bread maker, a pressure washer, a trailer? And how about your neighbour? Let's have a call to action to buy less and share more. Even if we don't all have a library of things on our doorstep, we could all help each other out by being more generous and seeing items as things we borrow and share rather than own outright. So if your neighbour wants to have a go at baking bread and you've got a bread maker, why don't you offer to let them have a go on it before they have to buy one of their own? As for me, I think I fancy trying something different this weekend. I wonder if that unicycle is available. You can learn more about the project on its website, shareoxford.org. The music for this podcast was written by German composer D. Jan Key and used here under the Creative Commons license from freemusicarchive.org.